Living God, we pray that you would be that God of hope for us and open your word of hope for us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's funny, isn't it, how you never have to learn a bad habit, do you? We seem to pick them up just like that. You don't need to sort of practice them like you need to practice a good habit to get into the habit of doing something good. Lent's often a time when Christians try and practice developing some good spiritual habits, like reading our Bibles more, spending time in prayer, practicing generosity by giving to those less fortunate, or giving of our time and our skills. Often it's about practicing some form of abstinence, abstaining from something, in a way to sort of sharpen our gratitude for what God has given us and realise our dependence on him. And we bring that then into our prayer life. Well, I decided to abstain from takeaway food that I hadn't prepared myself. Lasted until the day after Ash Wednesday. In my defence, I'd had a very long day. I hadn't had any lunch. And there was this buffet at the wake after the funeral that I did. It was just there. So anyway, that was a massive fail. And I can really relate then to Paul's kind of heartfelt cry of woe. I keep doing the wrong I know I shouldn't do and don't really want to do, but the good that I want to do, I don't do. Paul kind of hits on that sort of inclination that we have in our human nature to kind of want to do the thing we know we shouldn't do. Those of you who've been to a baptism service that I've done will know that when I show one of my favourite videos as part of the liturgy, which shows a little baby called Charlie who bites his big brother's finger. And I use it because sometimes when I'm doing baptism prep with the families, and we talk about how the water in baptism sort of symbolises, you know, that water cleans us on the outside and it symbolises how God cleanses us on the inside. And sometimes parents will say, but, you know, little Johnny's only, you know, 6 months or one or whatever. What have they got to be sorry for? And so I talk about Charlie. And so how old are we when we kind of know what that tone of voice means that mum uses, you know, no, and yet we still want to do what we've just been told we shouldn't do. And you can see the parents kind of going, oh, yeah, quite young, really. And it seems to be indicative of that sort of what Paul might call this kind of sinful nature, that inclination that humans have to want to do the wrong thing, to rebel, to do the one thing we've been told not to do. So perhaps we can kind of relate to that feeling that Paul has of these two warring sides having like an inner wrestling match within us. The times when we've promised ourselves that we won't lose our patience or our temper again, and then the very next time that someone pushes our buttons, off we go. Or the times we've promised ourselves that we'll spend our money more wisely and carefully. And then we spot that bargain. The new handbag. The new bit of tech. And out comes the credit card. The times we promise to make better use of our time. Spend more quality time with loved ones. Develop that new hobby. Read that book. And then we get sucked into binge watching the latest series of something on some channel. Or we've just wasted an hour watching cat videos on YouTube. Whatever it is, we all have our weak spots, don't we, where we have that inner battle, that tug of war that goes on. And we might laugh, but for some it might be actually really serious and even life-limiting. It seems to me that when faced with that sort of tug of war, we can find ourselves at one of two extremes. Either, oh, it doesn't really matter, or it's not that bad, or well, I can't do anything about it, so why bother? Or it does matter, and I'm a terrible person. It's hard, and I'm a failure. I can't do this. Sort of apathy and despair seem to be the two options. As well as practicing spiritual disciplines during Lent, Christians are also called to do some sort of self-reflection, a kind of spiritual inventory. How am I doing, really, in my walk with God, in that sort of ongoing journey with Jesus and his call to follow him and grow more like him? You know, how's that going, honestly? What might need to change? I'm sure as we do that, all of us kind of probably realise that we often fall short of how we want to be and realise yet again how imperfect we are. But when that happens, we need to be careful of that trap of feeling that apathy or despair are the only options open to us. When we've decided that yes, we will follow Jesus, and that yes, we do believe, as his disciples realized, that he and he alone hold the words of eternal life, hold that key to the life that is truly life, then however hard it is, apathy, giving up, isn't an option. As Peter says, to who else will we go? And it's not just because we don't want to go back on our decision to follow Jesus, but because we realize he gives us another option. For the Christian, the opposite of despair over our shortcomings and failures is not apathy or resignation, oh well, what's the point? For Christians, the opposite of despair is hope. What can rescue me from this tug of war going on inside me, says Paul? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, we will try and we will fail. Yes, we are imperfect. But we are deeply, deeply loved by a perfect God who has given us his Son and given us hope. And that's what we're going to be thinking about over Lent. On Wednesday evening, our Ash Wednesday service, I was talking about lament. I'll repeat something of what I said. Because in Lent, when we do this sort of spiritual inventory, we may well become aware of things which we need to repent of, to say sorry to God for, and to turn away from. Things which we need to receive his loving forgiveness for. And part of our response to that should be lament. We should be sad about that. That's appropriate. And on Wednesday, we received the ashes as part of the service, and as part of our sign, a symbol of our lament for the things for our imperfect lives. But we also remembered what sign it was that was made by those ashes on our foreheads. The cross. Christian lament is never without hope, because the very touchstone of our faith is a symbol which epitomizes lament and hope. And so Christian lament, it acknowledges our imperfection, sure, but it leads to hope rather than apathy, resignation, despair. As Lent leads us on a journey of repentance, it also leads us on to hope as we journey through lament and out the other side to resurrection. On Wednesday, we're also thinking not only of our own individual shortcomings and imperfection, but also acknowledging that we live in a very imperfect world. And at the moment, I think that feels quite scary. And whilst it might be easy to point the finger at others and blame them for that imperfection, we kind of have to acknowledge our collective responsibility. our hearts should lament. Our hearts should break for the brokenness of our world. It feels to me as if my heart breaks a little bit every time I watch the news at the moment. I don't know if others feel that way. So, it's boy, do we need hope, yeah? Real hope. And I have felt God sort of saying to me quite strongly, personally, don't give up hope in my world. Don't give up hope in my world. Because that's the thing about Christian hope. As we were thinking on Wednesday, you know, it's not just wishful thinking despite the facts. It's not just about being optimistic, keeping our fingers crossed that it will all work out in the end. Hope, Christian hope, is not a nebulous thing. It's rooted firmly in the reality of God's love and power. A love and power the living Father demonstrated and proved tangibly for us in his living, dying, and resurrected Son. A love and power which doesn't mean we look at the realities of life through sort of rose-coloured spectacles, but it means that we see things in their true perspective through God's eyes, through the perspective of eternity, and the perspective of the truth that one day everyone, no matter how big and powerful they seem to be or think they are, will stand before him. When we choose to practice hope, we choose to see things through that perspective. And when we do that, it can make things seem very different. Thanks be to God who delivers us through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are imperfect people living in an imperfect world, but we are perfectly loved by a perfect God who is in the business of making all things new, us and our world. And so we are not people who are without hope. We're not people who have to give in to either apathy or despair. So we keep coming back to God as many times as we need to receive his love and his forgiveness and to start again. We keep praying for our imperfect world. That's so important. A world which God loves and died for. And we keep doing our small acts of resistance in this battle against hopelessness. Small acts of kindness and love and generosity towards others and creation. Small acts of hope. Refusing to give in to despair and telling others about the one in whom we have hope. Amen.